Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM 80, and the ESPN app. Hello, I'm Michelle Smallman. Bruce Springsteen today?
Yeah, this is my mom's shirt.
Nice.
Vintage.
Dancing Chris Canty.
Hello.
I am Evan Cohen. Good morning, everybody.
Good
How are we doing today?
Evan. How are you doing?
It could be better. It took me forever to get here. Road closures. I'm annoyed this morning. I've never walked in here when it was light out.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever walked in when it was light out?
It's been trending that way the last couple of weeks.
I feel like none of us have ever walked in when it was light out.
It is nice, though.
It's so much different.
It is nice. It is so much nicer to be able to walk into work when it's actual light outside.
Yeah, it feels like morning and not the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. That part.
How was the Met Gala?
Lovely.
Yeah, obviously Smalls went last night.
Is it called the Met Gala or the Met Ball? I thought it was the Met Ball.
I always said gala, but I think you could say whatever. I think it could be either one.
It's Met Ball? I always said gala.
Stand by, research.
Oh, I've gotten this wrong for years then. I mean, I've never gone, obviously.
Yeah,
but
she's texting Anna Wintour right now.
Yeah, okay.
Anna confirms it's the gala.
It's the gala?
It's the gala.
Yeah, okay. Met Gala last night in New York City, obviously.
Zendaya, queen.
Queen.
Did she win?
Queen.
She was number one?
Two outfits.
When
both
is she not number
outstanding.
One?
She was a co-chair with Anna Wintour.
Yeah.
Zendaya puts it down every time.
Yeah.
Zendaya has never even sniffed a worse dress list. She is always, always on point.
10 of 10.
10 of 10.
So who else is on that list quickly here, Smalls?
I loved Cardi B's look. She was the rose that grew from the concrete in Brooklyn.
Beautiful.
Very, very apt. A little Tupac nod for the garden theme. I thought Nicole Kidman was outstanding. I absolutely thought Tyla slayed with the sand theme. I don't know if you saw her.
I did not.
She had to be carried. Her dress was so structured.
Oh, she had to be carried up the stairs. Yes, I did see that.
She looked absolutely stunning. I thought Taylor Russell looked great and Custom Loewe. There were so many good looks.
Custom what?
Loewe.
I don't know who these people are that she's
saying.
Are these people? These are real people?
Yes.
What about Ben Simmons? He was there last night.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, good for him to show up to the Met Gala. He's not going to show up on an NBA court.
At some point, you have to think about when you show up there, like, everyone's going to make that obvious joke, right? Like, why am I here exactly? Like, it's crazy. The guy doesn't play basketball, yet he does all of these different events.
He cares more about fashion than he does about being an NBA hooper.
Well, he had to pick out his street clothes so often that, you know, he got really into the looks.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, guys. That was me.
Bang. Who shuts you down?
The roast of Ben Simmons, hosted by Michelle Smallman, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a little Flavor Flav vibe with the clock, you know?
Yeah.
He has a brief. No, it's a briefcase.
It's got the clock on it.
Time is ticking on his NBA career.
Oh, geez.
Man, oh, man. All right. Well, last night we did have a couple of NBA games, including the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, the late game last night.
Was that a game?
106-80. Unbelievable, that result. And that's in favor of the Timberwolves over the Nuggets. And, oh, by the way, that was without Rudy Gobert, who missed the game for the birth of his child. So my one reaction to this right off the bat, guys, is as follows. So do you think that the Timberwolves will match up Karl Anthony Towns against Tatum or Brown? How are they going to do it defensively?
You've already jumped there.
No, because I think Jaden McDaniels will guard one of the two of them. But I was thinking, like, so Gobert, if Porzingis is healthy, will guard him. But there's an interesting matchup developing because you're going to want Ant on one of these guys. Does Kat slide down to guard Drew Holiday? What do they do defensively in the series against Boston in the finals?
So hold on. You're assuming Boston gets there.
Yeah, I'm going to assume Boston gets there at this point. At this point.
With no Kristaps Porzingis?
At this point, I have to, although I'll root for the Cavs tonight.
Kristaps Porzingis, you're just going to make that.
I think I'm going to have to.
Okay.
We don't have a problem with him putting Minnesota there.
No, I don't have no issue with him putting Minnesota there. I mean, they absolutely smoked the Denver Nuggets. And it was house money last night, Ev. Like, they stole home court advantage in game one. We figured that would be closely contested. Denver doesn't lose game ones at home. That's just not in their DNA. But the T-Wolves went in there and took it from them. And with Rudy Gobert out of the lineup, they had every excuse to lay down and just say, hey, mission accomplished with our trip to Denver. We'll get it back in Minnesota. They got greedy last night, and I just didn't expect it. But you know why I should have? Because the guy that's the star player for the Minnesota Timberwolves has that type of mentality, and that is Anthony Edwards. And everybody wants to focus on what he does on the offensive end and how he's a three-level scorer, which is absolutely phenomenal. He is dynamic in that regard. I mean, it's shades of Michael Jordan in terms of his skill set, his offensive package. But when we start looking at what he does and how he impacts the game on the defensive end, I mean, this dude is special. I mean, he had Jamal Murray in jail last night. I'm talking Akon locked up, won't let him out. No, he won't let him out. Jamal Murray is 1 of 10.
No, you can sing.
1 of 10 in the first half
stop.
In the field.
You can sing.
Like seriously, 1 of 10 for the first half in the field.
Stop that's, blowing that, by this. That's, you can
that's,
sing.
That's after game one where he was 0-for in the first half. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Anthony Edwards is doing to Jamal Murray, and in a lot of ways, that dude is the head of the stake in terms of orchestrating their half-court offense, especially when Nikola Jokic has got to deal with the frontline size of Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns. But when you got bodies to throw at Jokic and you got Ant-Man taking care of Jamal Murray, the Denver Nuggets offense has nowhere to go. They have trouble initiating their offense in half-court sets, and that has been the story of this series so far. 12 blocks last night by the T-Wolves, 11 steals, 19 total turnovers by the Denver Nuggets. That is not happenstance. That is defense. And that's how this team has developed their identity. It's around the defensive end, and it starts with Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, 27 points last night, 36.5 points per game in the last four games. That's the most over a four-game span by a player at age 22 or younger in a postseason since LeBron James. In 2006, we are witnessing a transformation of the NBA. Anthony Edwards.
I see what you did right there.
What?
You witnessed LeBron James.
Witness.
Now it's Anthony Edwards.
Is he the chosen one? Is Anthony Edwards now the chosen one?
But you know what's great about it? He ain't got to call himself the chosen one. Everybody else is doing it for him.
He's so special.
Everybody else is doing it for him. He ain't got to do it now. Everybody else is doing it for him.
There's not one hole in his game. When I watch him play, I have so much fun watching him. And I just think, if you're doing this at age 22, what is it going to be like in 5 years? How scary is he going to be in 5 years?
Okay, two
He's
things.
He's scary
here.
Now.
Two things. One, he can sing. Let's be clear on that. He wants to blow by that. He's ignoring me. He actually can sing, right? If we actually forced him, which we can't, to actually sit here and sing, I believe he can sing.
It's like Fergie and Jesus combined. It's amazing.
It's what?
Fergie and Jesus combined.
I don't know what that means.
Don't worry about it.
It's a movie quote.
Okay. That's number one. Number two.
I thought you'd get it.
Yeah, I don't, obviously. Number two. I can't believe we're at this point, but right now we have to be at a point where if the Minnesota Timberwolves don't win a championship, they should be disappointed. And I'm talking about this year. This year.
If you match up with Denver like that for two games, you should feel that way.
Yeah,
you should feel that way.
You have become championship or disappointment, not bust. It's not championship or bust is a team that's been building up to this like Boston, right? But if the Minnesota Timberwolves, after going up 2-0 on the road at Denver, defending champ with Denver primarily healthy, Murray is not 100% healthy and he's throwing heating pads onto the court during the course of the game.
Let's not use that health thing as an excuse because it didn't bother him in the Lakers series.
Well, no, I'm saying primarily healthy.
I'm not saying that you are, but I'm just saying that will be the default for a lot of people today. And that discredits the Minnesota Timberwolves. To me, that is the lead today. It's not about the Nuggets being embarrassed as much as it is about how dominant the Minnesota Timberwolves are and how this is the beginning of the Ant-Man era. We are ushering in a new era in the NBA. And it's about Anthony Edwards right now and his greatness and how that permeates throughout this team. And it creates a quiet confidence in terms of how they go about their business. I love what he said at the post-game press conference in terms of what they're going to expect in game three when they go back to Minnesota. He said, yeah, we're expecting that we're going to get the Denver Nuggets' best punch. But as we break it down every single day in practice with Chris Finch, when he says that we're going to get a team's best punch, Anthony Edwards says, hell, we're going to punch them MIFers back. They ain't the only one throwing punches in the fight. That's his mentality. On SVP, this dude was talking about, I want to kill everything in front of me. I'm going to get it. He was talking about KCP and how he's a Georgia Bulldog and how that's the big bro. Yeah, that's cool, but I ain't going to talk to him personally on the phone until after the series is over with. Listen, he's my big bro. I respect him, but I'm trying to rip his head off.
Who's that
that's
remind
what,
you of?
That's what he said.
Who's it reminds remind you?
Listen, Smalls, I know people don't want me to jump out of the window, and I know we try to temper expectations, but damn it, I ain't the first person that said this. I mean, Tim Bontemps and those guys on the Hoop Collective podcast, I believe it was, they said it before this season. It's shades of Michael Jordan. It is. It is. And here's the thing. It goes beyond the game. It's about the mentality. The mentality that Ant-Man approaches it with. He said he wants to rip this dude's head off. And this is somebody that's a friend, a mentor. I want to rip his head off. I want to kill everything in front of me. Hey, the Denver Nuggets, they're going to give us their best punch. But they ain't going to be the only ones punching. We're going to punch them MIFs back. Like that's where he's at with it. And everybody on Minnesota believes that they have a chance to win every single game because they believe that they have the best player on the court at any given time, and his name is Anthony Edwards.
Championship or disappointment? Simple as that. Championship or bust is for a team like Boston that's built up to this point, right? Championship or bust is for a team like the Denver Nuggets, who have won before. Championship or bust would be for the Los Angeles Lakers when you have the second greatest player of all time. They are now up to nothing on the road without Rudy Gobert last night, who missed the game for the birth of his child. They are now a championship, or they go into the summer disappointed that they didn't win one. That's where they're at right now.
Can I ask you a question, Ev? Coming into this postseason, who would we say the best player in the world was?
Jokic.
Right? That's really unquestioned. He's about to win his third MVP in 4 years.
Defending champ.
How is Anthony Edwards now not in the conversation for best player in the world after what we're seeing him do with his postseason, especially against the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic?
His name's on the ballot, 100%. Without question.
In the conversation, got to win, right? Which is why championship or disappointment. So the disappointment would be you lose this series, you blow a 2-0 lead, or you lose to the winner of Oklahoma City and Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. Then if you get to the NBA Finals, if you're Minnesota, which right now, I don't know what ESPN Bet says, we can look this up. To me, they have to be the favorite out of the West to get to the finals now with a 2-0 lead, that at the end of this postseason, in June, when it's all over, the conversation will turn to, is Anthony Edwards the best player in the NBA / is Anthony Edwards the player you'd want to start your franchise with? He and Wembanyama are going to be the two, Rookie of the Year yesterday. And then are they going to be champions? If you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan today, I don't know the last time you've ever felt this way or ever could say this. You have every right today to think, oh my God, we may win the title this year. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with the easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressive.com. Well, the late game last night was a blowout, even without Gobert.
Thank God they did that, though. Really? Because I could go to bed at halftime. It was a 26-point lead at halftime. I think it was 61-35. I was like, cool. Ain't no FOMO tonight.
Yeah.
Ain't no comeback for the Denver Nuggets tonight.
Totally.
Jamal Murray throwing heat packs on the court. Ain't no comeback tonight, cuz. I could go to bed, sleep sound. It was a nice and tidy 11:15 bedtime for me. God bless the Minnesota Timberwolves for doing that.
Anthony Edwards is like the Sandman. He lulls you to sleep.
There you go.
You're lucky the first game wasn't the second game because you couldn't go to sleep during that. The Knicks' big win over the Pacers, not without controversy. We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The New York Knicks up 1-0 on The Indiana Pacers, the 121-117 win at the Garden last night. Certainly not an easy one. Indy had leads throughout this game. They got unbelievable production from their bench. But the New York Knicks get 43 points from Jalen Brunson, who just continues to drop 40-plus in every single game. And it's not like he was actually unbelievable through three quarters. It was the fourth quarter that he just went off last night. And I thought the biggest play of the game last night, we could sit here and talk about a Miles Turner illegal screen at 118-117. Indy has the ball with 12.1 to go, and they're down 1 point. And that totally changed it because it gave the Knicks, in essence, the ball on the win. But I'm telling you, and I really do believe this, Isaiah Hartenstein at the end of the first half, a half-court heave, three-pointer, completely changed the momentum. The Knicks were kind of flat at that point. He hits a half-court shot. They go into the locker room with total life. All of a sudden, the Garden became a little bit more energized, and the Knicks obviously way better in that second half, 121-117. They win by four at home. Tyrese Halliburton, 6 points, eight assists. Oof. T.J. McConnell better for Indiana than Halliburton last night, guys.
Yeah, that just shows you how good Dante DiVincenzo was on the defensive end, right? This is after putting Tyrese Maxey in jail in game six, after Maxey has that huge game five that continues to extend the series from the Sixers. DiVincenzo has accepted the challenge on the defensive end, and he's been great for Tibbs. But, I mean, we shouldn't expect anything less from a Tibbs-led team. He's not going to have too many defensive liabilities out there. But to me, the story of that game was turnovers. Through three quarters, the Indiana Pacers only had three turnovers that led to three Knick points. In the fourth quarter, that's where the game was lost for the Indiana Pacers because they had a total of five turnovers that led to 10 points for the New York Knicks. That's the story of the game right there. Now, I'm sure that the inbounds fouls on Ben Shepherd didn't hurt. They didn't do that not once but twice in putting the New York Knicks at the free throw line to get that free throw and the ball. Those are the types of plays within the margins that you can't afford to give up if you're going to put the Knicks away, especially if you're in MSG. But those are the things that you have to watch closely. Those are the things that you have to figure out as a young team. And last night was just growing pains for Rick Carlisle's bunch because that was a game that they were firmly in control of for the first 45 minutes. But it was the New York Knicks in the final 3 minutes that made the winning plays to take control.
For me, it's Jalen Brunson. I know a lot of people are going to want to talk about the call or the missed call that impacted the game, certainly. And I don't want to discount the other Knicks players, the Nova Knicks, but Jalen Brunson just continues to be dominant, guys. You mentioned Evan, 40-plus, 43 again last night. He's the first player with 40 points and five assists and four straight postseason games in NBA history. He just continues to be, as CeCe likes to call, the force multiplier for this Knicks team.
He is awesome offensively. The problem that I see with the Knicks has not actually become a problem, which is unbelievable. They play their guys 40-plus minutes. I mean, they have four guys that played 42 minutes or more last night.
And the only reason why Hartenstein didn't play over 40 minutes is because he got in foul trouble. And that was the only reason.
And they don't have an obvious second scorer, yet it has not affected them in any way, shape, or form because they're getting points from these guys that are not there for offense. If you think about it, Dante DiVincenzo dropping 25 points last night, he is a two-way player, but he's not your second best scorer, or Josh Hart, same thing. And so it is remarkable what the Knicks are getting out of these guys. And I have never had an issue with Tom Thibodeau playing his best players the most amount of minutes. Like, what are they there for? I know this may be old school and outdated. Like, hey, you're there to play basketball. What, am I not going to play you? If you're better than the guy sitting on the bench, I am going to play you. If you have the capability, like Josh Hart, to play 48 minutes and somehow not get tired, could it catch up at some point? Maybe. But if he's able to do it at this point during this year, with all the games played, and he's not getting exhausted and he doesn't look exhausted, why am I taking him out? I'm serious. Like, this whole mentality of, oh, load management, et cetera, et cetera. If person X is better than person Y and person X is not getting tired now and so shows no signs of getting tired in the future, why am I taking him out of the game? What's the reason for that?
Couldn't agree more.
To voluntarily put someone worse in, it makes absolutely no sense. So I'm going to defend Tom Thibodeau in that regard. That all said, you may need a couple of extra pieces to do something in this series, because that was a lot closer than you probably would have imagined going into game one with the momentum the Knicks have, and you're going to need someone else to help you at some point, and they did get some breaks, right? I mean, there was an Aaron Nesmith kickball violation at 1:15 all with 52 seconds to go that probably wasn't a kickball.
No, it wasn't a kickball.
And there's no reviewing.
They already said that in the two-minute report.
They said they missed the call.
Yeah. And it's not a reviewable play.
Right. Which is stupid.
That is stupid.
Why is that not a reviewable play?
I don't know.
Like what are we talking about? You can review goaltending, you can review like the out of bounds, but you can't review kickball?
Shouldn't any play be a reviewable play?
I feel like it should.
I mean, absolutely. Especially in like the postseason?
You can review fouls. Why can't you review a kickball?
Don't know. I literally don't know the answer to that. So that's 1:15 all. Knicks get the ball back, and Dante DiVincenzo hits a huge three to put him up 118-115. And I mentioned the screen at 118-117 in that spot with Miles Turner. I don't think that was an illegal screen.
It wasn't an illegal screen. It was the right call. Miles
Turner, I don't know about that.
Turner was moving a little bit. It's the exact same call that we saw in the Final Four with UConn and Iowa. Like, it's the same situation. You hate to see that call under the circumstances, but you can see that Miles Turner inches forward toward DiVincenzo when he tries to work over top of the screen. Like, it's obvious that it's the right call. You just don't like that a ref is making a call in that situation and determining the outcome of the game. But those are the plays that we keep talking about when it comes to young teams versus more veteran teams. Those are the plays within the margins that you have to be able to win in order to close out a team like the New York Knicks that is as gritty, as heady as any playoff squad that's left in the tournament. So to me, that was more about the Pacers losing that game than it was about the Knicks winning that game, even though Jalen Brunson went off for another 40-piece all flats. Like, I just feel like this is a situation now where Indiana has to learn from it. They have to continue to do the things that they did to be in control of the game for the first three quarters and anticipate that Tyrese Halliburton is going to play much better in game two. Now, what I'll say about the Knicks is they better put these dudes away early, because I'm sitting here looking at the depth and looking at the disparity when it comes to bench scoring for the two teams. And you got to think that over the life of a seven-game series, that is going to factor in. The Knicks could potentially get worn down with the guys that they're riding so hard, playing 40-plus minutes. And you got to think that that favors Indiana as we go deeper into this particular matchup. So if you're the New York Knicks, I'm not saying that this is an easy opponent.
But
you got a better chance at winning this series if you put them away in four or five than you do if you have to go six or seven.
This is going to be a way more fun series to watch than I anticipated.
Yes.
I love watching Indiana play because of how fast they are and how well they move the ball. So I actually think, like, everybody was hyping up, rightfully so, the Knicks and the Sixers series because it was great. But at times it was clunky and frustrating, like watching the Sixers, right? I think
it's
Indiana.
A bad brand of ball for
right.
the Sixers.
I think
bad
Indiana is fun to watch. They move the ball, they hit the open man. The Obi Toppin, real name, no gimmick. His dunk was unbelievable. The through the legs dunk. I can't believe he did that in a playoff game, which is just absurd. I would have probably taken him out, knowing me. I'm like, I don't want that showboating on my team, but it was amazing.
Man, there was a bounce pass that Pascal Siakam had. From damn near half court.
I know what you're talking about.
From damn near half court to Isaiah Jackson. It was an unbelievable
finish. I don't know what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about the one that Halliburton had to Siakam that I thought was unbelievable.
No, I'm talking about Siakam made the pass
this
to
is
Isaiah
the point.
Jackson.
This is the point.
That's unbelievable play. It's a bounce pass from damn near half court.
If we're
incredible
getting confused
play.
On great passing, that means it's a fun team to
but
watch.
But we knew that coming into this series, though. The Pacers are going to push the ball from the backcourt into the front court. Like, I mean, just in terms of the assists that Tyrese Halliburton gets
so fun
from passing the ball from the backcourt, like, he's better at that than anybody in the NBA. Like, that's just how they play. That's their brand of basketball. So it's going to be fun. The contrast of styles makes this an interesting fight. But again, if you're the New York Knicks, you feel good that you stole one. You probably got a win that you shouldn't have got on your home court. But looking at this series on the whole, you're going to have to put these dudes away early, because – if your starters are playing 40-plus minutes and the guy that played the most minutes in the starting lineup for the Pacers played 36, you got a problem. When you look at the bench scoring, the New York Knicks had 3 points off the bench last night. Three. The Indiana Pacers had what? 46?
Well, we'll
46.
See. CC, we will see if either or any of the Knicks or Pacers will be in your power rankings. Top five NBA players you want to start
throwing the ball
your
between his legs to dunk
with.
The ball.
Coming up. But first, a word from True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn. Guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com. And transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes. And one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Electric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number five to number one.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Ah, yes, this is Unsportsmanlike, and on Tuesdays here at this show at 6:30, we like to rank stuff. But before I get to that, she is the lovely Michelle Smallman. He is Evan Cohen.
How come I don't get lovely?
Well, you're a hoodie Evan.
I would like lovely.
You'd like lovely?
I would like a lovely.
I feel uncomfortable calling you lovely. I feel like it might
be
an HR situation if I call you lovely.
I just called you lovely.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. You
your
know
singing
what?
You're is lovely.
You have a lovely personality, so I'm going to say the lovely.
I do?
The lovely Evan
Who
Cohen.
Who are you talking to? Me?
The lovely Evan Cohen. Yes, you.
Oh, okay,
yes,
my bad.
My teammate. I got the lovely Evan Cohen. You said you like to be called lovely. I'm going to call
you
lovely.
Jealous.
Okay,
jealous.
All right. This is the Canty Power Rankings. And of course, today's Power Rankings was inspired by the Ant-Man era beginning officially this postseason. And so it came up on Get Up and First Take. Who's the NBA player that you would want to start your team with? Of course, I said Anthony Edwards. There are a lot of different opinions out there. So I decided I'm going to come up with a top five players that I would want to start my NBA team with today. Everybody on board with that?
I love
yes,
it.
Sir.
We good with that?
Yeah.
All right, let's kick this thing off. Number five, Javonte.
Number five.
Jason Tatum. 27-8-5. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. He's doing that, shooting 47% from the field, 37% from free. He's five-time All-Star. He's on the verge of making his fourth All-NBA team. He's got the best record in the NBA this year. Now, the question about Tatum is, can he get over the hump? Can his team get to the championship rounds and actually finish the drill and bring home some hardware? That's what everybody is waiting on. That's the only thing that he needs to complete his resume. He's only 26 years old, but it feels like he's an old 26, and we've been waiting for him to get over the hump for a really long time, and this feels like this is his best opportunity to do so. He's got a clear path through the Eastern Conference to the NBA Finals. I mean, he didn't have to deal with Jimmy Butler in round one with the Miami Heat. He's not going to have to deal with Joel Embiid, the reigning defending MVP. He's not going to have to deal with Giannis or Damian Lillard. Those guys have been bounced from the playoffs. So, I mean, again, it feels like this is an opportunity to cakewalk to the NBA Finals. We'll see if they're able to do it, if he's able to help them overcome the loss of Kristaps Porzingis in round two against the Cavs. But Jason Tatum, the talent is undeniable. We just want to see whether or not he has the intangibles that reflect championship DNA. Next.
Number four.
I mean, number four, this one, this is going to be interesting. It's going to shock a lot of people. I'm going to go with Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I know this is a little bit low for Giannis because you are talking about somebody that's a champion. You are talking about a two-time MVP. But I feel like the shine is kind of worn off of Giannis, and that's what happens when you have three head coaches over a six-month span. All right, they fired Coach Bud because they had an early postseason exit last year. They started the season with Adrian Griffin. He ended up getting fired midway through, even though they had a 30-13 record, second best in the East. And then they moved on to Doc Rivers, and they proceeded to go one and done against the Pacers. Now, this is after Giannis laid down the gauntlet on the Milwaukee Bucks organization and said, hey, you guys have got to do more around me to take advantage of my prime. And they went out and they got Damian Lillard. That prompted Giannis to sign the contract extension. And this is not exactly the return on investment that the Bucks thought they were going to get when they extended Giannis and when they added Dame. Now, I will acknowledge that the roster around them needs to be reshaped to some degree because you need more defensive-minded guys, more 3-and-D guys to offset the defensive liability that is Damian Lillard. But I would say this. This is a disappointing season for the Milwaukee Bucks all around, and the disappointment started far before Giannis had the calf strain.
They don't have a bad roster. They had an injured roster that didn't perform to the fullest. Like, you look at some of those names, they have guys that can play.
No, they have guys that can play, but they don't have guys that can offset the defensive issues.
Correct. They don't have DiVincenzo or Hart.
That Damian Lillard presents.
They don't have DiVincenzo or Hart next to Dame.
Or Drew Holiday.
Or Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart.
I mean, think about it. When the Milwaukee Bucks won the championship, they did it with defense.
Yep.
They were one of the best defenses in all the league.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's what they got to get back to if Giannis is going to get back to the championship rounds. Next.
Number three.
Nikola Jokic on the verge of winning his third MVP in 4 years. He's the reigning defending world champion. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to look at this series as an indictment on how good Jokic is. Don't. Jokic is an absolutely phenomenal player. I mean, he's a human cheat code, the dad bod god. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are going to be competing for championships for the foreseeable future because Nikola Jokic, coming into this season, was the best player in the world, and he has performed like the best player in the world up until this point in the calendar. Now, just so happens that he's running into a buzzsaw that is the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they have the number one ranked defense in the playoffs, number one ranked defense in the regular season for a reason. They've got a guy in Rudy Gobert who is going to be the defensive player of the year, and it won't be his first time winning the award. So I don't want this series to be an indictment on the caliber of player Nikola Jokic is, because there's a reason why this guy is going to be a three-time MVP winner.
He's absolutely dominant. I'm a little surprised to see him at number three on the list, so I can't wait to see who is above Nikola Jokic, the defending champ.
I'm shocked by this because based on my math here, Smalls, there's three players for two spots in terms of the top five NBA players to start your team with.
Okay.
Let's see where you go with number two.
Okay, number two, Javonte.
Number two.
Victor Wembanyama. Oh, Wemby. Listen, the biggest question that I had about Wemby is his size. He's 7'4", 210 pounds. Like it's just, you just don't know that a guy with that type of stature, that type of frame, is going to be able to stay healthy for the majority of the games in the regular season. But to his credit, he was able to do it. I mean, this guy played in 71 games this season, averaged 21, 10, and 4 assists to go along with 3.5 blocks per game. This guy's a monster. He had over 250 blocks. He led the league in blocks by a country mile. The next closest guy, I think, was Chet Holmgren at 190. So, I mean, it just shows you that he is going to be a dominant force on the defensive end. And with the skill set that he has on offense, I think he's one of one. Like, you can't defend it. He's a guy that can shoot 30-foot threes. He can beat you up by posting up on the block. He's got a little bit of a mid-range game. He's got a handle, so he's not a liability when he's in the open court. This guy's got great court vision. There's really not anything that Wembanyama can't do at a high level in basketball. The only question that I have about starting a team with Wembanyama is he going to be able to stay healthy throughout the course of his NBA career? Because that's a lot to ask for a guy. And here's the thing. Here's what's staggering. The numbers that I talked about Wemby averaging, he's doing that with playing less than 30 minutes per game. Think about that. He plays less than 30 minutes a game and is averaging 21, 10, wow. and 4.
Wow.
That is insane. Insane.
You know, it's on us because we sit here and we're fortunate enough every single day to sit here on national TV and radio. But as crazy as this may sound, for as much as you've heard about Wembanyama, I actually think he was under-discussed this year.
I agree.
I agree.
And
where
to blame? Blame us.
Based on the hype that was around him heading into the season.
He lived up to it.
But during the season, under-discussed.
All right. So that is 1-4. It's Victor Wembanyama, Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jason Tatum. But there can only be number one, Javante, if you will.
Number one.
Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. Mama, there goes that man. And he was out there again last night. 27 points, so not as flashy as the 43 that he dropped in game one. But it didn't need to be because of how they put the clamps on the Denver Nuggets defensively. And Ant-Man is the head of the stake when it comes to that. He's the guy that sets the tone because he's the guy that accepts the challenge, taking on a team's best player or second best player. The guy that's the biggest difference maker in the backcourt, that's the guy that Anthony Edwards is going to be on. And I said it before, I'll say it again. He's got Jamal Murray in a straitjacket in this series, and he ain't going to let him out. He's not going to let him. Can somebody please save Jamal Murray? I feel like we got to put an APB out on him. Somebody needs to put this dude on the back of a milk carton because he's been missing in this series, and Ant-Man has been the one to erase him. That's what's happening.
He's got his heating pad. He's got the heating pad.
I mean, he might as well be in witness protection because we can't find him. And that's because of Anthony Edwards. That's how special he is. Last night, they dominated that game from opening tip to the end of the final buzzer, and they did it without Rudy Gobert. They did it without Rudy Gobert. Just had his celebrating the birth of his child from Monday morning. And listen, they didn't need Rudy Gobert last night. They just didn't. Because Anthony Edwards was that good. I also want to caveat that by saying shout out to Carl Anthony Towns because I thought he was amazing last night. But if we're talking about players that I want to start an NBA team with, there is nobody that I want more than Anthony Edwards. You're talking about him going into the defending reigning champs house with a guy that's about to win his third MVP in four seasons. Him going into their house, putting his feet on their couch, going in their fridge, making himself a sandwich, grabbing the remote control, turning the TV to whatever channel he want to watch.
ESPN2 with Unsportsmanlike.
Exactly. And just making himself all kinds of comfortable. All kinds of comfortable. But here's the thing, Smalls, beyond just the skill set, beyond just the athleticism, the thing that makes Ant-Man special is the mentality. This is a guy that says, I want to kill everything in front of me. I want to rip people's heads off. And damn it, we're expecting the best punch from the opposing team, but they ain't going to be the only MFers punching because we going to punch too. That's the kind of guy that I want leading my franchise. I love that from Anthony Edwards. He is the number one player that I would want to start my team with. So that is the list. Players that I would want to start my NBA franchise with. Anthony Edwards, number one. Victor Wembanyama, number two. Nikola Jokic, number three. Giannis Antetokounmpo, number four. And Jason Tatum, number five. Smalls, you are my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions to the list?
Where's Jalen Brunson? Is he six? Is he six through 10?
Ooh, he's in that 6-10 range. He's steadily climbing up the list.
I didn't know if after his postseason performances that you considered maybe adding him to the list.
The Brunson burner is climbing up the list. He's not in the top five, but he's climbing up the list. Okay. But there are a lot of guys out there. I mean, listen, SGA is out there.
Where's Luka?
No, I'm not putting Luka on the list.
Pause that. You're just going to dismiss Luka. He's playing tonight. He's in the same round as Anthony Edwards, and you have dismissed him. We will get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So CC just released his top five NBA players that he'd want to start a franchise with. Ant-Man number one, coming off of the win last night. Well, it's not just because of the win, but a win last night. A 106-80 over the Denver Nuggets. I'm surprised someone on this set has not ripped Rudy for missing the game for the birth of his child. Scottie Scheffler takes.
If they would have lost.
Oh, you would have done it?
I would have ripped.
You would have played. You would have been a play the results guy?
It's no harm, no foul. It's no harm, no foul. He wasn't there.
Boy.
Still
here
won,
he goes.
Matter.
Here he goes.
No harm, no foul.
There was
if
a player.
If they lost last night, then there would have been an issue.
And by the way, you would have had an interesting compare and contrast, because there's a player on the Boston Bruins who did see the birth of his child yesterday and then flew to Florida for the game against the Panthers, and they won. So, I mean, you did, I think it was on the, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Carlo, on the Bruins, who I think scored a goal last night, Brandon Carlo. And so you have the compare and the contrast where he actually made it to the game and Rudy did not. Anyway.
Can I just say this?
No.
People don't understand how much a championship changes your life.
Oh boy.
Not like I'm missing the birth of my child to do Unsportsmanlike or to do Get Up or First Take.
Why you guys, wait, how do we catch strays on this?
Well, it's not a stray. It's just.
Yeah, it's a direct kill shot.
It's just a fact. Though.
Yeah.
Like you're competing for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are only a few things right. in life that you can only do once.
Yeah, have a kid.
That define your life, though.
Yeah,
you know. The kid does.
Well, I have to say.
I said do once. You can have multiple kids.
You can have multiple championships.
Yeah, but my point is this. If you have a championship, you are forever known as a champion. Point blank and period. There's only a few things you can do in life where that label follows you for the rest of your life. And winning a chip is one of them. Like, I'm not saying the birth of your child is not important, but people have babies every day, B. Like, it's just like I'm not, as the father, I am not going to do anything that is otherworldly in the delivery room, right? I ain't the one popping the baby out. It's okay. If I'm out there competing for a championship, guess what? We win a championship, that changes that kid's life, that changes my wife's life, the baby mama life, that changes everything. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I am not, like, to pass up an opportunity to win a championship, I just couldn't do it.
It must be nice to have that option. It must be nice to be in a position where you can make a decision on it, whether or not you want to miss the birth.
That's fair.
I don't. By the way, I want to just also point out, and I know you didn't mean this, the way you just said this is very funny. You're like, you know, you could, it's your wife's life, your baby mama's life. As if those are two different people in your case. Is what you do.
What some guys did is.
I understand
with
that.
Some guys did. Not with me. Not with me, but with some guys.
You know,
with
my wife's side, my baby mama, my girlfriend. I mean, all of them.
Some guys have all three.
It's impacted a lot of lives.
Some guys have all three.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. You win a champion, you can take care of all of them, right? You win a championship, you take care of all of them.
Everybody's gonna go.
Money for the wife, you got money for the baby mama, and you got money for the girlfriend / high piece. You got money for all of them.
That's why you need to be at the game.
Why you got to be at the game to win the chip. You made my point for me, Evan Cohen. Thank you.
While I vehemently disagree with your birthing takes, at least you own the fact that if the Minnesota Timberwolves would have lost last night, you would have come in blaming Rudy Gobert for missing the game for the birth of his child.
Yes.
At least you're retroactively putting yourself in a blender.
Well, here's the thing. It's the reigning defending champs, right? Like, when you got them on the mat, you can't let them up. Now, there have been, 29 series in NBA history, 7-game series where the home team goes down 0-2. Only 5 of those teams have come back to win their series. So putting them in an 0-2 hole going to Minnesota was huge. Like, now you've got that series in a stranglehold, and with that defense, I have a hard time seeing the Denver Nuggets win 4 or 5. So, like, the series is in effect over. Now, Rudy Gobert obviously helps the Minnesota Timberwolves in that regard, but they didn't need him last night.
Well, his significant other did, obviously, and good for him.
She didn't really need him.
Oh, boy.
I just don't, like you're saying, oh, be in the room for support. How much is the guy going to actually support? How much does the father actually support in the birthing room?
I think a lot.
But he's not, what am I doing? I'm just holding your hand saying you can do it, you can do it?
I think afterwards you bond with your child, you cut the cord, but that's after,
that's afterward. Okay, I get all of that. I understand. I'm talking about the process, like the delivery.
She has been pregnant for 9+ months. She is growing your child inside of her while you are relaxing in sweatpants, eating the ice cream that she's craving, gaining the sympathy weight. The least you can do is hold her
hand. I'm going out to get the ice cream, those malls. I'm going, well, I'm probably not. I'm probably Instacarting it. But you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
I'm getting the ice cream for.
Canty, as the producer of the show, so you're telling me if you guys end up having children that I expect to see you here if your wife's in labor?
Yeah, good one.
Like, you're going right. to be on the show?
So let's just say. Wait,
we can't equate a radio show.
Yes, we can.
No, we can't.
This is our championship.
We can't equate a radio show. This is the championship? This is the championship.
Then you better
When is the title game?
Then you better plan it right.
Every moment.
No, hold on. You better plan it right and have it in their fall or make sure you don't have it in the fall
you
or spring
book. Have it in the fall.
Don't have it in the fall or spring book. Summertime baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're telling me...
Ideally, the week of Major League Baseball All-Star.
I was going to say July.
Yeah, July. Yeah.
July, baby.
Whatever Major League Baseball All-Star break is, that's when you want
usually
the baby to come.
Usually about July 7th through the 12th. Somewhere in
that ballpark, exactly.
Do you think Rudy was like, honey, I'll be there. Aunt's got it.
So wow.
Wait a minute. Small. We cannot let him off the hook on this.
I know what this kid is made of. He's good.
I'll be there.
I have to ask a question. You're telling me we're doing the show, and all of a sudden your wife calls at 6:16 with the euphoria of having the baby, and you don't want to meet the Canties?
Well, the baby ain't... Wow.
Oh, I
see what you did there. I see what you did there.
That was really good.
He couldn't help himself.
That was so good.
Evan, put a dollar in the jar.
You put a dollar in my pocket, how good that was.
He can't help. He cannot... help himself.
That was
guys,
so good.
Jar
but if
what?
She calls me at 6:15 in the morning, like the baby ain't coming by the time the show is done with. The baby ain't going to be here.
So you're just going to sit
delivery,
here?
The delivery takes a while.
Are you out of this your mind?
This is an all-day type of thing. Like, you know.
It's he knows how it's
doing. Just going to sit here and while your wife's going into labor.
I'm
going
to finish the show and then I'll meet her at the hospital.
Who's giving her a ride? Well, you're going to make her take an Uber?
I'm pretty sure her mom will be here. I know my mom will be here. So she'll have the mom with her. She's good.
Sometimes these things happen quickly. I had one of my best friends from college had the baby in the car.
Yeah.
Because once her water broke, it happened quickly.
Yeah, but
Smalls, I'm 6'8", my wife is 6'1". Ain't going to be nothing quick about that big baby delivery. Ain't going to be nothing quick about that. That baby is going to be lunchy. Ain't going to be nothing quick about that delivery.
It's going to take a minute.
Hey, it's gonna
wait,
take a while.
Hello, Mel? You're going easy. Into labor? I'm sorry. We have respected or check it coming up.
Exactly.
I can't leave. I got to give a best bet.
Best bet of the
play
night.
Play of the night.
I got to give a parlay on hockey.
Play of the night hit last night, by the way. Josh
All
Hart.
All right.
We say play of the night, baby.
Let's go.
Josh Hart. Over 11.5 boards. Knicks money line.
And that's what you would tell your wife on the way in. Our play of the night hit.
Exactly.
We've got sound from Chris Finch. I can't go to the birthing of my child. The T-Wolves got a big win last night.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.